Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you very much, Brother Casey. For you that are visiting with us, we're in a series we have entitled Living Beyond Our Capacity. As you grow in life and as you become, start your life, hopefully someplace in there you will find the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. One of the things that happens to you after you receive Christ as your Savior is that the Holy Spirit moves into your life and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Jesus called him the Comforter. And the word comforter means one that comes along beside to help. The Holy Spirit is his job as the administrator is to help you grow, help you mature, help you develop. He will do that by illuminating your mind. When the scriptures preached, all of a sudden you have a new nature. And spiritual things, you're able to understand them. He will guide you. He will direct you. And all of a sudden, as a Christian, you start realizing the importance of prayer, the importance of reading your Bible, the importance of being in church, being around good influence. Because good influence does rub off. Bad influence also does rub off. And all of a sudden, you realize that He's helping you live beyond your capacity of what your flesh wants to be. If I listened to my flesh, I would not serve God. If you listen to what the world is saying, serving God is not an option. Just like Brother Kosh is saying in that song. We got to realize that our world is full of people with the old nature. And we were able to learn in our study so far is that when you get saved, you have an old nature and a new nature, and all of a sudden there's a conflict, there's a battle going on, and it happens to every Christian. You'll be having this battle until the day you die. And now that you're saved, you're born again, you're maturing, you're developing, the Holy Spirit is helping you in what we call theologically your sanctified life. That's a life set apart by God. Last time we were together, we looked at Ephesians 4, 5 and 6, and we looked at what a righteous life looks like. If you want to know what a Christian is to look like, read Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6, and it will explain it to you. Certain things you are to do, certain things you are to stay away from. And today, as we get into this, I hope that we can realize, if you're saved today, God will not leave you the way He found you. The Holy Spirit wants to take you somewhere. He wants to change your life. If your life as a Christian is not being changed, then you're doing something to stunt your growth. You are doing something to stunt your growth. D.L. Moody said this, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not." And how true. Well, I always like to start off with something humorous, so I guess we better get something humorous. I had the privilege, when I was pastoring on the West Coast, a lady walked into our church. She was really dressed to the hilt. I mean, she had diamonds on this big, you know, and she walked in. She said, "Well, I heard about your church. I wanted to come over and visit." And it was Muhammad Ali's daughter. And she walked in, and she visited our church, and she goes, "Well, you're one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers." I said, "Well, I guess. I don't know." And after I preached, she says, "Yep, you're one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers." I said, "Well, I don't." She said, "I like that kind of preaching." And next Sunday, here she come again. And she came, a number of times to our church. And I was surprised that she enjoyed hellfire and brimstone preaching. And, I'm just an old-fashioned independent Baptist preacher. I just preach the Bible. And, I don't necessarily want to make it flowery for you. I do want to make it palatable for you to where, it's easily understood. But it's not my job to make it flowery for you. It's my job to just preach it. And I do want you to be able to receive it. And I don't believe in hostile preaching. Some preachers think, "Boy, I'm going to get up and skin them today." I never come to the pulpit with that attitude. Never. I think that's the wrong attitude to come to the pulpit. But anyway, getting back to the point. The heavyweight boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, and his daughter told me this, was not known for his humility. And having won 3 separate heavyweight titles during his career, Ali often declared, "I'm the greatest that's ever lived." Well, now, you got to be pretty proud of yourself if you go around saying, "I'm the greatest that's ever lived." Right? There's a story that goes around about Muhammad Ali. And the story is told that one day, Ali was sitting on an airplane preparing to take off. In preparation for the flight, the attendant stopped at Ali's seat and noticed that he had not buckled his seatbelt and said, "Please buckle your seatbelt, sir." Ali, in his typical overconfident manner, said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." To which the flight attendant retorted, "Superman don't need no plane. Buckle your seatbelt." I thought, well, that's our humor for today. All right. As we look at what we're talking about, we realize something happened the day you got saved. The day you got saved, you were justified. And you were justified by faith. That is your position in what we call positionally sanctification. You are justified. In the eyes of God, you are justified, and that will never change. It always stays the same. The next thing that happens is that there's a process that starts. We call it practical sanctification, where you are growing. You are developing. You are maturing. You are becoming what God wants you to become. You're growing in the image and stature of Jesus Christ. That is always changing. You're always maturing. You're always developing. And sometimes, I hate to say this, you even backslide. Amen? Come on, Christians, let's be honest. We even backslide sometimes. One day we'll have what we call complete sanctification, and that's where we have glorification and we're in heaven. All right? And that's what we're waiting for. The agent of sanctification is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one that's helping you to grow, and He uses a variety of things. He teaches you, He guides you. Hey, He can even chastise you. And we preached about that 2 weeks ago. How many of you remember? 3 of you. All right. No, there's more than that. All right. You remember that. We preached on that. And here's something we've got to realize. We have the propensity to not be good people. We do have that ability. We have the propensity for that. God can give us the capacity to be good. And realize this, the Holy Spirit wants you to be good. Now, notice this, that we have a new nature. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and notice with me, we read these verses, but I need to reiterate them just for a moment. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. Let's stand, and we'll get right into this. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, he's talking about people that are not Christians, people that are lost. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, which is unbridledness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not learned Christ. I mean, Christian, you ought to be doing something different now that Christ is in your life. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you become a Christian, you ought to pursue right things, and you ought to pursue being godly or being holy. You ought to pursue that. That ought to be something you want to achieve in your life. And folks, please realize this. God wants you to achieve that. But you know, people that are lost, that are not Christians, when they look at you, they expect something different from you now. Come on now. You're supposed to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. They want to see something different in your life. Amen? And what is the product of our old nature? Sin. What should be the product of my new nature? Well, the Bible says in verse number 20, but ye have not learned so, but ye have not so learned Christ, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that's what people ought to be seeing coming out of our life. Father, I pray now that you'll bless this effort of preaching. Teach us what you have for us. Lord, we need your help today. Guide and direct now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You might say, well, Brother Ron, you're narrow-minded. You expect me to live a godly, holy life. Well, who cares what I expect? It's God that's expecting that. I didn't write this. I try to abide by it. I try to go by it. And I tell you, it's hard. It's hard being a godly man. It's hard being holy. It's hard doing right. You know why? I want to do wrong. Because I'm just like you are. And if you're sitting back there saying, well, I never do wrong, you're a pious gas bag. And I heard that from Noel Smith, my professor in Baptist Bible College. All right. All right, we won't get into that, all right? Now, the question is this. What does a righteous, true, holy person look like? And people might say, well, to a Pentecostal, he looks, or to a Catholic, he looks, or to a Baptist, who cares about all that? What's the Scripture say he needs to look like? What's the Bible say? Well, you'll find it from Ephesians chapter 4, 24 to chapter 6. That's what a Christian needs to look like. He needs to look like that. And it's not vague. It's not mystical. It's very plain what he says. And realize this, the standard that controls what I should look like is not my friends. It's not what you think of me. The standard that controls what I should look like is this book. Because God penned it for me. You want to know what a Christian looks like? Read those verses. Notice what it says down here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me at verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You go, oh, right there, that's cussing. That's also gossip. Huh? Amen. That's using your tongue in a bad way. Huh? But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that we may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Boy, oh boy, that's what we ought to do. Look down at chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Boy, there's a list of things that we aren't to do, but there's also a list of things that ought to be in our life. They should be there. The Bible gives us what the righteous life needs to look like. People that want to live right. We saw one go home to be with the Lord this week. Brother Charlie Bill. He wanted to live right. Wanted to do right. He was a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was not a perfect man. But he was a man that wanted to live right. Huh? I think we have people in this room that want to live right. Huh? That want to do right. And we all ought to desire that. And realize this, the thing that separates me from the world is very plain. What is the source that keeps me in the right direction of living a godly, holy, righteous life? Well, it's the thing that my standard is. It's my Bible. What separates me from worldly thinking and from the world? Notice, keep your finger in Ephesians 4, but turn over to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. Notice what the Word of God says, and this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He's praying for them. And He's talking about them to God. And notice what He says in John chapter 17, verse 16. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. The word sanctify means set apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what separates us from the word? I mean, from the world? The word in what we believe. The Word of God separates me. Because, understand this, I'm supposed to be something different now. And I need to start living a godly life. I need to get away from all uncleanness. That's what it said back there in Ephesians 5. I need to quit messing around with unclean things. Huh? And in a lot of our minds, we think, oh, that's turnips and spinach. No, no, no. I mean, when the unclean thing comes on TV, you ought to turn it off. Yo, Brother Ron, here he goes on against Hollywood. Folks, you see a lot of bad coming out of Hollywood. Huh? When we hear somebody talking bad, we got to walk away. Huh? And I remember I was messing around. I had a job and I was doing something. What was I doing? I was in the break room. And all of a sudden, the mechanics decided to bring all these immoral magazines. And they were just spread out all over the place in the break room. I said, fooey with this. I'm not going to mess with this. So I stacked them all up. I didn't tear them up or anything. Stacked them all up, put them on a high shelf up where nobody had to look at them. And they come in and they go, Ron, what'd you do with our magazines? I said, well, they're up there on that top shelf, way up there. Well, we want them down here. I said, no. Because if I find them down here and I have to look at it, they're going in the trash. I said, now, if you want to look at it, that's between you and God. And I said, but I'm not going to look at it. You go, Brother Ron, you can't do that. Well, I was their boss. Yeah, I can. And I did it. You know what happened 2 days later? All magazines were gone. Huh? Amen. I don't need that filthiness. I don't need enticement. I got enough problems. Huh? Come on now. Well, you don't need to put stuff in front of you. It's like if you have a problem drinking beer, you shouldn't be around beer. Huh? If you have a problem with smoking, you ought to be away from smoke. Huh? You ought to be away from that kind of thing. And if we're involved with these things, please realize this. Practical sanctification is going to be effective if you let this stuff just pop up in your life. You know what? I had a real problem in my upbringing. My grandfather had a small farm in northern Oklahoma, but he also ran a beer tavern. And they were talking about their last days and when they were going to die. And I ended up leading my grandpa and grandma to Jesus Christ. And my grandparents are making out this will and everything. And they said, well, we're just going to leave the bar to you, Ron. I said, Grandma, I don't want it. They go, well, you can just sell it. I said, I don't have anything to do with it. Well, you can take the money. I said, no, I don't want any profit from that. I said, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, we'll just give it to the other family. Are you going to get mad? No, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Huh? And folks, they gave it to the other side of the family. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Please realize this. When you start growing in the Lord, you don't want to mess with those old things anymore. You don't want to mess with that uncleanness. Now, here's what happens to you. The old devil comes and entices you. And he'll get you sucked back into that stuff. And if you're not mature, if you've not developed, if you've not grown, you can get pulled back into it. And you go, well, that's talking about people that are involved in drugs. No, that's talking about people involved in anything. Huh? You don't want to get pulled back into it. And the devil wants you to. I hear this from a lot of Christians. They say, well, I'm under grace and I can live the way I want to. No, you're saved by grace through faith. But you understand Jesus owns you now. And you can't live the way you want to. You ought to live the way He wants you to. That's how we start living. That's how we start conducting ourselves. I'm not my own. He bought me with a price. Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, glorify God with your members, which are in this world. I ought to glorify God with my being, who I am. That's why I want to dress right. That's why I want to look right. That's why, you know, I don't want to look like the world. Huh? Boy, our world's gone crazy. Has it not gone crazy? Huh? I mean, I saw a guy yesterday. He'd come out of a store, and he literally had 6 holes in his pants. You know what my grandma would do if she saw me wearing 6? You know what my grandma would do? They would become a rag. Huh? And we got people who want to wear that stuff. They'll spend money to buy it. I was in a store looking at some jeans. And I picked them up. I said, they got holes in them. And people spend $30 for holy jeans. I think I found me a business. Huh? I'm going to go out and buy everybody's old jeans and put them up. Hey, this is a style. Huh? Isn't it crazy? Oh, it's just crazy the way people are. Huh? And now you go try to buy, go try to buy some Brill cream to comb your hair. I know I don't have any hair, but I'd like to comb it. All right? Now they got Gorilla Snot. How many of you use that? Huh? I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. Have we lost our way or what? Huh? It's crazy. You say, what are you saying today, Brother Ron? I'm saying, look at Ephesians 5. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's it talking about there? The context, if you read it, it's talking about who has control in your life. The Spirit of God ought to have control in my life. He ought to be the person that's leading me. Somebody's leading you. You're yielded to somebody. You're either yielded to your flesh or you're yielded to the Spirit of God. Amen. And realize this, a lot of people say, well, Brother Ron, you're just trying to be legalistic, or you're into legalism. Folks, do you understand what legalism is? Legalism basically says you work your way to heaven. I don't believe that. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm trying to follow the Bible. And the Bible says I ought to have a righteous life, a right life. I ought to pursue right things. You know, my Bible tells me that I ought to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against God. Now, understand that. The Word of God tells us in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that about? See, after you get saved and you start growing in the things of God, all of a sudden, you better start having a new attitude. You better start thinking a little different. You better start thinking like a Christian. Now, let me take you to a portion of Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus, he's teaching the disciples how they should conduct themselves. It's a new way of thinking. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 5 that in verse number 3, he sets down to teach them. And as he's teaching his disciples this new way of thinking, notice what he says to them, that there's a new way of understanding this. Verse 2 says, And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know what that means. A lot of people look down and go, what's it mean, blessed are the poor in spirit? Folks, that's simply telling us we should not be full of ourselves. We shouldn't be full of arrogance. That's what he's simply saying. We shouldn't be full of ourselves. We shouldn't be full of arrogance. We ought to be people of humility. Very plain. Notice the next verse. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You go, what does that mean, Brother Ron? Blessed are they that mourn. Folks, your sin ought to bother you. My sin bothers me because it bothers God. He doesn't want us walking around crying and bawling all the time. What's he want us to do? He wants us to be bothered by how our old nature. And he goes through a list of different things, and we've explained him before. I mean, down to verse 12, he tells us a new way of thinking. Now, here's what I want you to see. Look at Matthew 5, look at verse 21. Here's the new way of thinking, what it produces. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Don't kill. You kill, you're going to be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, he said, don't even be angry. It's a new way of thinking. New way of thinking. And folks, he gets into this new way of thinking. And notice what it says over here in verse number 27. Look at verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already. See, it's a new way of thinking. See, he said, hey, if you say, you're going to be judged for murder, well, you should even hate, Christian. Adultery. Hey, yeah, adultery is a terrible thing, but you shouldn't even look at a woman with the wrong appetite. With the wrong things in your heart. New way of thinking. You go, what do you mean, Brother Ron? Here's what I mean. God can teach you things. He can grow you up. That's like being kind, forgiving one another. Huh? Remember the verse? Verse 32 we read in Ephesians 4, I think it was. Huh? How does he teach us those things? Well, look over at Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to close here in just a minute. Look at Romans chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, and this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Verse 5 is the verse I want you to get to. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, you know what the job of the Holy Spirit is? He's an administrator. He teaches you this stuff. You go, what do you mean? Do you realize that before you got saved, you were an enemy of God? You were hostile towards God? You know what the Holy Spirit does? He teaches you to fall in love with God. But He teaches you to fall in love with other people. He teaches you to love ministry. He teaches you to love missionaries. He teaches you to love giving. You go, what do you mean, Brother Ron? Hey, before we wanted it, we wanted to just hang on to it. We were greedy. He teaches you to have a giving spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches you to do these things. What's He doing? You're growing in the image and stature of Jesus Christ. That's what He's teaching you. To become more like Jesus Christ. Today, I hope I'm more like Jesus than I was a year ago. I hope I'm more like Jesus than the day I got saved. My salvation can never get any better than what it is. But my sanctified life can mature and develop to where I grow into something special. When people see me the day I die, I hope they look at me and say, "There goes a good man that loved the Lord and pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what I want them to say about me. Now, if I let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me, I guarantee you that can be part of my epitaph. Look at Romans chapter 8, and we're closing. I know I said that just a minute ago, but we are closing now. Romans chapter 8. Notice our flesh. Romans 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That's the way I used to be. That's the way you used to be. Before you got saved, my carnal mind ruled. I was an enemy. I was hostile towards God. Verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." See, when you get saved and the Spirit of God goes to work in your life, now you want to do right. You want to do right because it's the right thing to do. You want to try to honor God with your life. You want to start thinking differently. And things, all of a sudden, priorities change. That happens when you grow in these things. Understand, he goes on down. He says in verse number 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, that by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you do die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The same God that rose from the grave is in here. He can give me the capacity to live beyond what my flesh wants me to live. That's why the Bible says, "Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." I can live a controlled Christian life that pursues godliness and holiness and righteousness. I can live that kind of life. That's the life I choose to live. You know why? Because I love Him. Today, what kind of life are you living? Mediocre? Humdrum? Your flesh still sort of ruling? Christian? Maybe you better evaluate. Maybe you better look at your life. Maybe you ought to take a little inventory. He owns you. He owned you. He bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your members. Father, I pray you'll bless what has been said today. Thank you for the truths here in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here without Christ as their Savior, that they'll realize that Jesus died for our sins since we're all sinners. He bore on the cross our sin debt and paid that price. He not only died, but was buried and rose again, not for His justification, but for our justification. If there's somebody here today that's never trusted Christ by faith, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will do the work, that He will prick that heart and show them the importance of trusting Christ today. And then I pray for Christians. If we need to take inventory, if we need to look at where we are and how we're living, if there's something we need to do for the Lord or some decision we need to make today, I pray the Holy Spirit will impress that upon our hearts. And we can see even Christians making decisions for the Lord. Bless now, please. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As the instrument plays today, if God has spoken to your heart, will you come? Would you come today? Would you come? Is there a decision you need to make today? Just step out. Just step out.